trophy hoarder show where you won't get bored. Honestly, I can't believe it made it past episode 4, but with the help of everybody at PG, Tynosaurus Rex, Donnie D. Oh my god, we done killed Tricky. We some bastards, but it's cool, we just being us, no fuss. He be back in the past, first class. And again, let me think about it. Meanwhile, thanks to the crowd, but listen to the show, yo, we still on top. Only came a long way, long way. Well, kind of soda, let's just say the SG paved the way. SG paved the way.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 103. We're going to do a little change in what we're doing. We're going to do two parts of the show because of the fact that between work and schedules, all the people couldn't be here today. So starting off, I'm Tricky Mech. With me, of course, making his return is Alex.
Nice to meet you, Tricky Mech.
Why are you saying nice to meet me?
You said you introduced yourself. You're hello. My name is Tricky Mick.
Well, I know we. You fucking with me, and
I. Well, I have to give you a hard time because I've been gone like for what, 2 months.
Well, you only been gone for about a month worth of shows.
Yeah, but still, I mean, 4 weeks. I'm sure the people missed me.
Yeah. How's your Latin life going?
My what?
Latin life.
What the hell is my Latin life?
Wow, you didn't get that reference. Your vida.
Oh, my Vita. It's good. It helps me play Sly Cooper when I'm not able to play on my PlayStation 3.
All right, so in the future shows, you're going to have to help me defend the Vita to Donnie.
I will say this. If I the thing I'm most excited about on the Vita is the fact that I can play PlayStation 3 games and carry over the save file and play it like them mobily when I'm not at home, and like the same for PlayStation 4 games. I'm not actually excited about buying games for the Vita.
You'll get there. All right, and because Donnie's not here for this segment, I had to bring on a guy that I've been listening to for a couple weeks now, actually longer than a couple weeks. He's always made me laugh. It's Klaus.
Hello.
You know, I love how you try to give him a nice little compliment, a little pat on the back there. It's someone I've been listening to for a few days now because blah, blah, blah.
Some asshole I heard about a couple of days ago. Here's this guy, Klaus.
I found his name on the gas station truck stop bathroom stall.
Yeah, his name was kind of said for a good time call.
Call me for a delicious podcast recording. Mm.
That phone number has led to a number of delightful nights.
All right. Why don't you explain to our listeners who you are and where you come from and meet you.
Well, it's nice to meet you too, Tricky Mick. I come from wouldyoukindly.com. I am a video producer over there. I mostly do game reviews, but I'm also dipping into some other stuff. Skits, weird interviews, stuff like that. Aside from that, I also do a number of podcasts over there. I think every podcast that I'm on over there also includes Dear Alex.
Yes, it does.
Yep. Gamer's Garage, The Floor is Lava. So, yeah, I'm just all over them internets.
And when you all hear this, you have to go watch Klaus and I, along with a couple of our other Would You Kindly employees, staff members, whatever you want to call us, Justin, as well as a Trophy Horse favorite, Candace. We went to Las Vegas for the Level Up Expo last weekend, and Klaus did some interviews with cosplayers that are just gold, just absolutely hilarious. So when you hear this, you got to go to Would You Kindly and watch those. It's completely serious. That's the name of the video series, so it's great.
I love how you're on Trophy Horse after a month and you're pimping out Would You Kindly.
All right, look, dude, I'm trying to, you know, point people towards Klaus's great work so they can, you know, not only like put a face to the voice.
Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I just find it funny for the last month you've been spending time with the Would You Kindly guys, which is awesome because I would love to spend time with them also. But then you come back and within the first 5 minutes you're pimping out Would You Kindly and you're kind of like,
Well, you know, it's like when you have those friends who like go over to England for a couple weeks, and then they come back and they're just like, oh, darling, you love it. I'll stay in this great flat and we have fish and chips. And you're like, talk like an American, you jackass.
I would like to point out that I am devoted my time to recording a podcast promoting ProvenGamer.com. You got anything smart to say to that, Tricky Mick?
Let's just move on.
No, but I mean, like, honestly, like, part of the reason I do it is because I was excited, you know, not only to spend time with Justin. I'd met Justin once, it was very briefly, but I got to meet Klaus over the weekend, so I'm still very excited from that, getting to visit Candace. So I'm still burning on the fumes of that. I only came home a couple days ago, so yes, I would like to promote Klaus and the greatness of Klaus. Plus, he's our guest, so let's give him all the let's whore him out.
Absolutely,
with his consent.
Like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. I just like how you spend a month doing Would You Kindly stuff, and then you come back with Trophy Horse, and the first thing you say is go to wouldyoukindly.com.
That's not the first thing I said. Okay, look, this show is derailed on.
Oh wait. No. The first thing you said is nice to meet you, Chicky Mick. Like you don't even know who the hell I am.
You know, I know who you are. I know who you are.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean that sexually either.
Oh damn. I thought we were letting
we just play naked hopscotch together.
I thought we were
totally not naked
together.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get on. We're gonna skip our updated trophy counts just to get into it because we got a little bit to talk about. As you're hearing this, you probably already heard the PlayStation 4 announcement show that we did last night with Donnie and Philosophy. Because Alex wasn't able to be on that show, I wanted to bring him on to do this little first segment. And, of course, we had to bring Klaus along with him because, you know, what show would be complete without Alex and Klaus together?
Exactly.
So the first thing we're going to go into, and another reason I brought Klaus into this, was because he has a little bit more information on the hardware specs that he could probably explain better than I can, and I'm trying to...
I can at least bullshit a lot of it.
Say again?
I can at least bullshit a lot of it.
Well, I mean...
Yes, Klaus, from all those nights you spent in Kazurai's little bed, just leaking information from him, bilking him for information, please tell us the in-depth undercover details you have of the PlayStation 4.
Well, I mean, like, he... Like those like secret information, but he can probably explain what this stuff is better than I can. Some of the things now announced with the PlayStation 4 hardware specs was that it was going to have a local hard drive. It was going to have 8 gigabytes of unified memory, which is your RAM, an x86 CPU, and an enhanced PC GPU.
See, my thing about this is I was sitting there watching the conference, and they tell you like kind of the technical stuff. Talk and then they give you that, but they also kind of dumb it down too. I mean, really, anyone sitting there watching, does a gamer really need to know all like the in-depth what this means, blah blah blah? Because a lot of times I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Just tell me, just does it run better, is it prettier, what, give me the features, what can I do? So like 8 gigabytes of RAM is what a lot of people are going to focus on, and the fact that it's got, you know, a hard drive, that's really what people are going to focus on. Telling the people the name of the processor, unless you're in depth with PC stuff, it doesn't mean shit to most people.
Well, see, that's why I brought Klaus along, so maybe he can explain that to us.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a CPU and a GPU?
CPU is just a computer processing unit. GPU is a graphics processing unit. So your GPU would be, you know, dedicated to running the graphics. A PCU is also involved in the process, but it's maybe not as directly involved with graphics processes like physics engine, stuff like that, and more just involved with system processes itself.
Okay.
If that means anything to anyone.
Hopefully it means something to somebody else, because I actually got lost a little bit in that, but...
Yep. It should be noted that, I mean, the processing unit that is being used in the PlayStation is actually... it's semi-custom built by AMD. Like, you're not going to find this processor in a lot of computers. So they are making something, you know, specifically with the PlayStation 4 in mind, which is kind of cool because I don't know of any other real instances where AMD has done that except maybe one other. But
all right.
Well, I mean, the big thing that they pushed at the show is it's going to be simpler to develop for. Obviously, the Cell processor gave a lot of people, and even the PS2 people talked about it was too hard to develop for, and especially with a Cell processor. Did they say so? I could have sworn they said something about the CPU and the GPU being kind of tied together.
I actually thought they were splitting it up because to help the system run better so you can actually download your games. Because one of the things they did mention is that now when you buy a game off the PlayStation Store, once it downloads a little bit, you can actually start playing the game as the rest of the game is still downloaded in the background.
Yeah, and that's a thing that's been going on for a few years now with World of Warcraft. I'm not personally a fan of the game, but one thing I've always appreciated is, as of a few years ago, they made it to where once you started downloading the game, after you'd gotten, say, like 10 or 20% downloaded, you could actually start playing the game. It's just like some of the graphics and stuff like that would be a little more limited, but you could get through like all the starting area, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a really nice way to deliver downloadable games a lot faster to people.
All right. And did you guys happen to see the example of the new user interface that they're going to be having?
I did, yes. It looks... Yeah. I mean, like, it's... It looks like to me like they're using the bigger pictures. It looks like there's less stuff on screen, like less kind of text and more just kind of pictures to me, like big blocky pictures. And it, just seeing the basic screens of it, it looks pretty.
Looks kind of like the Windows 8 tiles.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, I thought it was interesting that I'm looking at a picture of it right now where underneath the game that you have highlighted, it shows you how many friends own that game, how many trophies you have in that game, how many add-ons you have with it, and how many times you've shared your media with the share button off the controller. So I think they're making this user interface more designed for the social network more than it looks like they're really trying to stay to the hardcore gamer aspect of it.
I think they're just embracing how social gaming has become. Like, sharing all the stuff about games and all that stuff has become really important to gamers as of late. And I think, you know, I mean, like, the biggest complaint I've ever had with PlayStation, because I played Xbox for a long time, I played PlayStation for a long time, and my big problem was always, like, the friends list and all that kind of stuff was way weaker on the PlayStation as versus the Xbox. Now it seems like Sony is trying to really make a step above the rest.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, even though social aspects are just kind of, and have been just kind of permeating every part of, you know, our lives, including gaming. I mean, a lot of these features, it just seems to me like it's, I guess you don't have to use them, but it's just kind of like when I hear this stuff about social, it's kind of like, okay. I mean, it's easy enough for me to reach the people I want to play with, but it seems like I saw at the conference they had like a picture of each friend, right? Like for anonymity's purposes, like you'll still have your name, your username, and like your avatar. Like your, you know, like I've got like a Sly avatar right now, but they had like a picture of a guy who I assume like they're gonna have like, you know, if someone's your friend, they can see your profile picture, like, you know, on like like if you would go on Facebook or something. I mean, when I hear about the social aspects, I'm not really that excited. I mean, obviously I want, you know, more of the games and the features kind of stuff. But I mean, I guess it's just another step closer to every part of our life being on the internet and being broadcast everywhere, you know?
I want to say I found it really interesting, but I also, like, I see a problem with it, but I don't really know how to describe the problem yet. But it's the aspect that now, as I'm playing the game, I can share it live. So, you know, if either two of you wanted to for some reason, and say I was playing, just first game popped in my head to say Darksiders 2. If I'm playing Darksiders 2 and I can't beat a certain part of the game, the system's actually going to allow me to transfer the controls over to your system, and you're going to be able to play my game and beat that section of the game for me.
So hold on. So that Nintendo, what was it called, the Super Guide or something that everyone complained about, is now it's coming to PlayStation.
It's coming to the PlayStation 4.
I don't want anyone else playing my games. Like if
yeah, but it's not like they're forcing you to.
No. I know. I don't really have a problem with it. But I mean, like it. Because I defended the Nintendo Super Guide. I was like, you know what? It's optional. Don't worry about using it. But I mean, like you know, that you said that they can share. You can share videos with your friends, which is cool. You know, if you can't you can't beat a certain section, or you don't know what to do, like you can always look at a friend's video and see, you know, how they did it. My thing is like that. You can also like watch your friends' games, like what they're doing in real time or something like that. Right. I don't know. Like, I don't want – the one thing I will say is I don't want someone, like, putting up a video and then me getting a notification for that, because if I start getting tens of thousands of notifications for everything, it's going to get really annoying.
Well, but I imagine it's all stuff that you can turn on and off.
Yeah, see, I think it's pretty interesting that, like, say I was playing Rock Band. Let's say I'm rocking out on the drums and I'm playing Rock Band and, you know, for some reason you want to sit there and see if I'm hitting every note. You could watch it. You could watch it straight out, and I thought that was pretty cool. That you can, you know, if I'm playing a game, and you know, like you see, let's say Donnie's playing Vanquish, and he's getting his ass kicked on those challenges at the end. Alex, you can sit there and watch him and say, "No, Donnie, don't hide behind that pillar. Go over to the right." You can actually help him.
No, I'd say Donnie, please stop playing, because this is possible. You're going to lose your mind.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like you can actually like watch him and give him pointers in real time.
Yeah, I got you.
I think that's pretty cool. But on the same aspect, being able to transfer the controls to somebody else, I don't know how I feel about that yet.
I feel great about it because it reminds me of when I was a kid. And you'd be sitting around at a friend's house playing a single-player game. And like one person's playing and they get to this part and they're like, God damn it, I keep dying. Oh, son of a bitch. They're like, here, man, you beat this part. And you jump onto the couch next to them and you start playing. I mean, I think what they're trying to do is bring back that virtual feel of actually, you know, being there with friends. Like, oh, hey, I can look over your shoulder and kind of see what you're playing. Oh, dude, that's awesome. You're doing great. Oh, here, let me jump in. I think they're trying to bring back that social feel just because – I mean, how many games this last generation have actually incorporated, like, local co-op and stuff like that where you can just sit with friends in games, right? Everyone's gaming online, so I'm all for trying to make that online feel more like when I was a child because I miss being young and thin.
I mean,
just more you to love, Klaus.
And see, and being that this is a PlayStation show and it is trophy-based, one of the questions popping in my mind is, let's say I'm playing God of War on the hardest difficulty, and we know that there's a trophy for beating the game on the hardest difficulty. If I can't beat it and I transfer the controls over to you, Klaus, and you beat it, should I get that trophy?
I think you should, but I think next to that trophy should be a little asterisk, and beyond that, saying "bitch."
Can I ask you a question? Yes, definitely. Can I ask you a question, Tricky? Did they mention anything about trophies? Because I don't think I watched about an hour and 20 minutes of it. I didn't hear anything about trophies. I don't think
they did not mention trophies. But again, if you look at the user interface, it does say trophies underneath the game, and it shows you how many trophies you have in that game. And then on the pictures I'm looking at, right underneath it, they have trophies listed. And they actually have somebody's profile right now on the PlayStation 4. And this person's profile, he's level 17 with 7 platinums and 2,700 trophies. So just by looking at that picture, and I know what it means to assume, but just by looking at that picture, I'm assuming that all our trophies are going to carry over and the PlayStation 4 is going to move on with the trophies.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I would assume that would come along and that they would definitely move to the next system. But you can never really be sure. I mean, like, they said our usernames are going to go over. So obviously, I guess all that information and even the trophies are going to be, you know, carried over. But it's like, you know, with being able to play games and backwards compatibility, do you really know what's going to be carried to a next system? Because, I mean, like, they've already said that the PlayStation 4 can't play games natively, can't play PlayStation 3 games natively,
right?
Not even downloadable games.
Right, right. That was a good segue into our next topic. It was announced.
Wait. Yeah, I love how you just couldn't let it, like, just transition smoothly to the next topic.
Hey, guys, look at this segue. It's so smooth.
We got some hot segue action going on over here in the jacuzzi, ladies. Come and join us.
I was actually
– Bring your coconut drinks.
I was actually planning to segue into it when you stopped talking and you just, like, moved in. That's why I was, like, saying, you know, it's a good thing you went that way. But, yes, It was announced today the PlayStation 4 will not be able to play your PS3 games or your PS3 downloadable games natively. But they did
good.
They did say that there is possibility with emulators and using the cloud service, but as of right now, that's not in, being announced and not in the general scope of things and when to launch.
Them saying that it's possible through emulation, all that stuff, makes me think of, you know, the PSP and then the PSP Go, where they said, oh yeah, we'll find a way to make your PSP games work on the Go. Nope.
Well, this reminds
it's probably something they're saying now, because you can play PS2 games on the PS3, and you know that you can't put a PS2 disc in the PlayStation 3, so they'll probably figure out a way, because obviously it makes sense for them to make money because they can just sell us the same games over again. Well, but it kind of, you know, it just kind of, there's a seed of doubt in my mind where it says, okay, you know, they say, well, we can do this, because they said the same thing about the PSP games on the Go, yet it never happened.
Well, I mean, it's also a matter of the technology, because their new processing chip is very, very different from the cell processor. So literally to be able to, like, accurately emulate the games on the PS4 and stuff like that, I mean, they would probably actually have to include the cell processor as well, which would, you know, rack up the price of the system, probably affect sales and stuff like that. And I don't see that happening. You know, I think, like, you know, they initially kind of did that with, you know, the first batch of PlayStation 3s were backwards compatible, and they dropped that because, you know, it was costing them money. People complained about the system prices, stuff like that. So, yeah, I think, you know, from just a hardware standpoint, I don't foresee them doing that, but I'm also okay with that because I don't think my PS3 will explode the moment I get my PS4 into the house.
See, I think they removed the backwards compatibility of the PS3s because in the long run, they were going to start selling all these games on the PlayStation Network. And I think it was a money strategy move. They're saying, we're taking it out to save money. But in the long run, they knew that they were going to start selling these games on the PlayStation Network, and we're going to be able to make their money back.
Yeah, but look how few of the games... I mean, I guess by this point, they've put a lot of them on there, but I still don't care because I didn't complain when my Super Nintendo didn't play Nintendo games. I didn't complain when the N64 didn't play Super Nintendo games. And I didn't complain when the GameCube didn't play Nintendo 64 games. I'm sure as hell not going to complain about the PlayStation 4 not playing PS3 games.
I will say this, that I when I first got my PlayStation 3, I got the 60 gig, so I had the backwards compatibility. After that, I went and bought my Slim that I have now, but I really never played any of my PlayStation 2 games on my PS3. Now, that's because I kept my PlayStation 2, but, you know, when I bought the PlayStation 3, I bought it for PlayStation 3 games. I mean, it would be nice if it could play all of my games, because, I mean, like, you know, a new system's a form of DRM. You know, you can't play, you know, certain games on this system, you can't play certain games on this system. I would prefer if I could play my PlayStation 3 games on PlayStation 3 games on my PlayStation 4, because, to be honest, I've got enough old consoles sitting around. I keep my NES and my Super NES because I have some, you know, those are the first couple of systems I owned, you know, and I, you know, there's some kind of attachment there to those systems. I like keeping them around, but it's not the same with the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3. If I could play those games, the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 2 games, I would get rid of those systems because I don't like having all that stuff sitting around and taking up space.
Well, see, I want to cut you off, but see, I can understand them not be able to play PlayStation 3 games on your PlayStation 4. I can understand that because they're trying to move away from the backwards compatibility. But to take away the downloaded games, I think, is a major mistake, because you look at somebody like me, somebody like you, and Klaus, I don't know if you're PlayStation Plus, but
yep,
PlayStation Plus has given us so many games downloadable that once the PlayStation 4 comes out, you know, like Klaus said, the PlayStation 3 is not going to blow up. But basically, everything we've gotten on Plus is going to be negated when we upgrade to the PlayStation 4.
To a point. I mean, yeah. But, I mean, they've also said, you know, I mean, this is a ways off. And Sony has also said, hey, we probably could, you know, get PlayStation Network games up and running on the cloud. And they're not saying anything for sure right now. So I think, you know, there's still a possibility of it. And even if they don't, I'll be fine because I'm certain, you know, after not too long, there will be some cool PlayStation 4 stuff on PlayStation Plus for me to dick around with.
I kind of feel like they're going to be starting over with Bluff again once the 4 comes out.
Well, let me ask you a question. Didn't they say, can't Gaikai be used to play some of those older games?
Well,
I mean, it's run on other servers, not necessarily in the system. So if you're playing, like, if you're doing that streaming, couldn't that?
Well, their quote was, and I'm going to read this word for word because I, you know, if I'm going to quote somebody, I'm going to make sure I get it right. It said, indeed, the Gaikai presentation during the PlayStation 4's reveal touched on this everything, everywhere mentality. But for now, downloaded PS3 games won't work unless somehow some games work on emulation. And the easiest thing technically would be to make PS1 games work on the PS4 with emulation. But we're not talking about emulation plans as of yet. So they're saying it's a possibility, but they're saying that we're not working on that yet. With Gaikai, it's the possibility is there, but I think that if they're not planning for it right now, I think that's a major mistake on Sony's part.
Well, I mean, they've got so many other things to set up with the system, like marketing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this is just like the bedrock of it. So they can't spill all the details now. They can't focus on everything at once because then they're not focusing on anything. So let's let them get the system set up and, you know, everything, and then they can talk about stuff like that. There have to be people at Sony like mentioning that, you know, sitting around a table saying, well, how about this? So that your concern, Tricky, has to be there in at least some fashion.
All right. One thing that Sony's not concerned about is 3D gaming. They said that 3D gaming is not going to be a focus on the PlayStation 4. And to negate some of the rumors, the PlayStation 4 will apparently not support 4K.
That's fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, whenever I go into a movie or anything, my thought process is always, why am I paying for this? Because paying more to see in 3D, because 3D does not make things better. It does not make me enjoy a movie more. It does not make me enjoy playing a game more. It's just a thing they can charge me extra for. I mean, you know, for a while there, they had the big push on 3D TVs, but whoever the Sony rep was, I can't remember who it was, but they said basically that, you know, the Sony, their TV division wasn't pushing 3D TVs anymore. They're pushing something else. So the games division is going to push that something else too. They're not going to worry so much about 3D. Shuhei Yoshida, the president of the Worldwide Studios, he said, you know, it can still do 3D and it'll do 3D better than the PlayStation 3, but it wasn't their focus, which we can only expect because, let's be honest, people have been saying that 3D isn't important to them for a long time.
I mean, I bought the Sony monitor with the SimulView, and I actually use it more as a computer monitor. It's actually hooked up to my laptop, and it splits between my, you know, I switch between the HDMI ports between my PlayStation and the computer. But I use 3D, but I don't really like go out of my way to make sure my glasses are charged and all that stuff. So not having 3D to me is not that big of a deal, but I like it to be there. So I don't know, like, even like Sly 4 was in 3D, and I didn't even realize that until yesterday. So, I mean, 3D to me is not important, but I'd like it to still be there.
I'll say I don't think they've said that they're just going to completely ignore it.
No, they just said it's not going to be a focus.
Yeah, which I'm fine with, because I would hate it if it was the focus. I mean, I've seen, like, Call of Duty in 3D and stuff, and yeah, it's cool, but I don't always want that with gaming, and I don't want it to be a focus of gaming. It's just kind of a neat thing every once in a while to pop on, and I'm certain there are people out there who care a lot more for 3D, but they're young and their opinions don't count.
All right.
Well, I mean, the thing about that is, I believe on the PlayStation 3, they said, you know, 3 implementation really was up to the developers and everything. With the PS4, with him saying it's not going to be a push, they're going to say, okay, if you want to put 3D in your game or use it, go ahead. So it's good that it's not like a wide-ranging rule saying, okay, you have to put this in there. This is a mandate, because then everyone just has to put it in there. This way, developers who really want to make good use of it and do something special and actually maybe enhance their game, then they can choose to use it while everyone else can say, all right, never mind. No, we're just going to do this other thing.
All right.
So I like the idea of them not – of them offering it, but them not saying you have to do it.
All right. And our last topic for this first segment is going to be – it's also been announced with the PlayStation 4 that it will support Move, but your DualShock 3 controllers will not be supported. Now, going with the news that our PlayStation 3 games will not work on the PlayStation 4 – it doesn't really surprise me that they're going to try to move everybody over to the PlayStation 4 controller. But, you know, everybody that went out and bought multiple DualShocks, I mean, I got five of them. It's going to negate something else that people have spent money on.
Well, you'll have to keep – you'll have to have something to play your PlayStation 3 games with. Or at least at the beginning, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know. It doesn't bother me just because – they're doing enough new little things, and there's, you know, enough questions left to be answered about, you know, the new PS3 controller and the little touchpad on it and the Move control thing. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of motion-based controls and stuff like that. I don't like the Wii for the most part and everything. I did not at all buy into PlayStation Move like everyone else on the planet. I'm saying everyone else didn't buy in like me, because who would?
Right.
But just having a little something like that into the controller that could easily be implemented, I think is good. Motion control and that kind of ingenuitive stuff is best if it's just a little extra something that helps move the game forward.
And, well, I mean, there's also had to make the point that, you know, each DualShock generation, like the DualShock 3 doesn't work, or the DualShock 2 doesn't work on the PlayStation 3. So, you know, no, obviously people got excited when they, you know, heard that one control scheme was going to work with the PlayStation 4. But, I mean, you would hope that they would do that with Move, because if they didn't do that with Move, obviously they were, you know, saying, hey, Move is dead. And a lot of people, I didn't expect to see anything about Move at the conference last night. And then, you know, Media Molecule came out and talked about it. So if Move would truly be dead if they did not make it usable with the PlayStation 4, whereas the DualShock 3, yeah, you can't use it, but they're just going to release another controller. You know, I would hope that, you know, I always make the joke that, you know, say, hey, well, you know, this company's just going to give up on this, you know, whatever new crappy thing they're trying to add on. But, you know, I kind of like, not that I'm going to use it, but I mean, for the people who bought the Move, it's nice to see them actually kind of investing and saying, all right, well, we're going to make sure it works with our next system. I mean, DualShocks, you have to not buy a new brand of DualShock every console generation. So that's nothing new, but, you know, they had to, if they were going to continue with the Move, they had to make sure it was, you know, compatible.
Well, I'm just happy to see that they launched it with a DualShock, because, you know, with the PS3, they took the Rumble and the DualShock out of it, and then, I don't know, several months later, like 6-7 months into the life cycle, they turned around and said, okay, we're going to start releasing DualShocks again because everybody wanted it back. So I'm glad.
Well, that was a copyright issue, wasn't it, with the Rumble Pack controls and everything?
Yeah, like, they had to eventually, I think, pay money to be able to add the Rumble back in.
Oh, that's what
When initially they released it, there was a huge copyright issue where they had taken the Rumble Pack technology or something from someone. It's been so long, I don't remember. But I do remember reading the announcement that basically due to copyright issues, they couldn't. And enough people finally complained where they finally went, all right, we'll just pay to have the technology. So
yeah, Phil Harrison said, I think that it's old gen tech or something like that. It was like old hat or something. And then it came out that they just didn't want to pay the money initially for the rights to it or the licensing rights to use it. And then, you know, like Tricky said, months down the road, oh, hey, here's your Rumble back.
All right, well, that covers the topics I wanted to cover, but you know,
I would love to insert one more thing.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, you were trying to defend the Vita and everything. I know you tried to defend it very, you know, admirably, and even Alex, after he's received a free Vita, is still kind of about it. I like to say the whole fact that PlayStation is kind of taking the whole Wii U idea of, oh, hey, can't play the game on the TV, just play it on the Wii U controller, and actually going, hey, we've actually got a whole game system that does a whole lot more than that, and you can take the game with you now. That really adds some interesting life into the Vita that I think really could actually carry one of PlayStation's portable consoles for once into some small amount of success.
Well, I will say this, the Vita, like, and, you know, I would, you know, I've called him up and said, I'm very grateful to Tricky Mick that he got me a Vita. It's very nice. It's an expensive gift, but, you know, I'm very appreciative that he was, you know, willing to give it to me. And it's a very capable system. It's very powerful. It's very cool. The cross play, you know, where you can play games on the PlayStation 3 and then, you know, continue them on the Vita. That's awesome. Like, I would love it if I could do – I would buy a handheld console solely if I could do that with every game. And they talked about that possibly with the PlayStation 4. They're not promising it, but, you know, apparently it's a possibility.
Yeah, having that possibility there, I mean, that's huge news to me.
Before Tricky.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, like, PlayStation Plus, having that on the Vita, that's great. Those free games they give you, because, like, right as soon as I got it, Gravity Rush, Uncharted, Wipeout, they were all free. But, you know, with the Vita, it's always been a problem. You know, people talk about games and also, but, you know, you're still asking $250 for a video game, a portable video game console, and that's a lot of money.
Well, I want to correct you on one thing. I mean, you were just saying that they talked about the crossplay with the PlayStation 4 games. It wasn't actually crossplay that they were talking about. It was the remote play functionality.
Yeah, exactly.
The remote play is basically you're playing your PS4 games, but you're playing it on your Vita, which is
using the Vita as a remote control and TV screen.
Right. You're not cross playing. You're not having to buy the game for the Vita. You're playing your PSV version on your Vita. So that I wanted to correct you on that. It's not cross play. It's remote play.
Okay, I mean, thank you for clearing that up, and, you know, my apologies for the mistake, but, I mean, because I honestly, the little story for the listeners, I was actually in traffic court last night for, you know, disregarding a stoplight last month, and I was just checking Twitter for the updates on the PS4, so that's something I saw that, you know, you can play, I guess I read that you can play the games on the Vita, which got me really excited. I just assumed, oh, hey, like Sly Cooper and Ratchet and PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. So that does take a little wind out of my sails that, you know, hopefully they'll continue with crossplay. But I guess if they gave, you know, free copies of the game out, they can't obviously continue to give free copies of the game out like that. But, you know, Sony has done a lot more, you know, Nintendo has done a whole lot with handhelds and, you know, making them friendly with their home consoles. And Sony's really been much better about that, even though they still haven't fully utilized all the capabilities or haven't really brought out the true potential. So hopefully, you know, with the PlayStation 4 and the Vita, they can make all that work and make them, like, kind of marry really nicely together, because it's only good for them, because the more compatibility they have between the Vita and the PlayStation 4, the more reason they give people to go out and buy a Vita.
All right. Well, I mean, that's covering all the topics I wanted to cover. Is there anything else you guys want to add before we actually close this out and move on to segment two?
Klaus, go ahead.
I would just like to say to all, like, the game journalists and stuff out there who are throwing a hissy fit because they didn't actually show the PlayStation 4 system, shut the fuck up.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I really wanted to say that.
Show the system. Oh, boo-hoo. How am I going to know how to arrange my home decor? You goddamn. Shut up, people.
I seen so many people today going, how I would have gave the presentation a 9 or a 10, but because they didn't show the system, I'm going to give it a 2. What the? Yeah, why do you fucking care right now what the system looks like?
Do they think everything is a lie because they haven't actually seen the system? It's like, no, they're saying all this, but it doesn't exist because I haven't seen it.
And people put they didn't announce a price either.
Well, they didn't say, like, a release date, I don't believe. Did they, Tricky?
They said holiday 2013.
Okay. So it's not vague. It's not coming out soon. So, I mean, Just be happy with it. The show was 2 hours, and they gave us a lot of information. So just be happy and, you know, be excited that, you know, that the possibilities on this new console are just amazing and spectacular. That we're not getting something that's not just another, you know, hey, the graphics are much better. Spend $200, $300, $400 on it. No, it's going to be a lot more functionality. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be able to do a whole lot more. you know, in addition to looking nicer. So just be excited about the possibilities. Stop bitching about not being able to see stuff, just like Klaus said.
Yeah, and plus, they're not going to show everything right now. There's still like E3 and stuff like that before they're ever going to release. They're going to save something because you don't just blow your whole load on one little press conference and everything, you know, one press event. You stagger it out. You keep people interested until the thing has come out. If they just announced all this stuff and then hid in a cave for the next, you know, 10 months until the goddamn thing was released, people would start to lose interest. So, I mean, from a marketing standpoint, you know, obviously they're not going to show off everything right away.
Very, very good point there, Klaus. And think, you know, what if, you know, Microsoft brings information out about its new next system and then Sony says, oh, hey, here's what our system looks like. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, remember what the PlayStation 4 can do? Remember how awesome that is? Why isn't Microsoft doing that? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, that, you know, I remember how cool that was when I heard all about stuff. So, yeah, very good point, Klaus.
You know, exactly. They're gonna keep a wraps on this. I mean, dear God, remember how long Nintendo kept a wraps on the Wii back when we were all calling it the revolution and nobody knew anything about it? And I mean, it's like, you know, every company does that shit. We should all be used to it by now. But so many game journalists are just like, they didn't give me everything I want. I'm so upset. I'm so cynical and old now. I've forgotten what childlike wonder and delight is like.
And of course, if they gave us all the information right, you know, months and years ahead of time, then we'd never played the GameCube. We would have played the Dolphin.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny the people that are sitting on Twitter and on Facebook calling Kaz Hirai a liar right now, because if you guys remember, not too long ago, he came out and said, we're going to let Microsoft make the first move. And now they came out with the press conference and everyone's like, oh, he's fucking liar. This is why we can't trust Sony and all this other shit. And I just looked at him.
Well, I mean, that's a
monster. Yeah, you know what? That's a great argument. I'm sure that's the argument all kids made when their parents finally told them about Santa Claus. Oh, our parents are fucking liars. We can't trust them. Oh, they kept all the information from us.
And also, you know, Kaz Hirai, as, you know, not just some dipshit on Twitter writing dumbass comments about what kind of sandwich they ate, you know, stuff that I would write. He actually is the head of a big corporation that he actually has to be careful about what he says in interviews and in public places, because as soon as he says something wrong, that shit's going to be plastered on the internet, on the news. So he has to be very careful and coy about what he says. So not necessarily that he lied, you know, just don't get all huffy. And
it was a market,
you know, if he says the PlayStation 4 can double as a microwave and yet it can't, and when you get it, it can't double as a microwave, and you bought it because you don't have a microwave and you want one, then feel free to get pissed at him and bitch. But until then, just shut up. All right.
All right. Final question. Then we're going to end this. They said release date, holiday 2013. If it doesn't come out before Christmas, would you consider it a failed launch?
I mean, from a business standpoint, that would be a really bad move on their part, because, I mean, then they would either have to delay the launch a long time, because releasing something shortly after Christmas is a goddamn death sentence. No one has any money. And then if they have to wait that much longer, they're going to lose a lot of hype. So I suppose technically, yeah, I would consider it kind of a failed launch. You know, if they want to really capitalize on the sales and everything that they've said right now, I think a holiday launch is kind of integral at this point, because that's what people are expecting. That's, you know, what people are, I'm certain all the little kids around the country and everything are starting to save up their money for right now. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously, like, a holiday launch would be in their best interest to maximize sales, as Klaus said. You know, there's a reason that a lot of people put a lot of games, they put a lot of their releases in that last quarter of the year, because that's when the sales will be the best, because people are spending for the holidays. But you also got to figure that if they come out soon after the holidays, then people are going to say, okay, well, I want a PlayStation 4, just give me money towards it, or, you know, get me a pre-order for it. I don't think people are just going to say, oh, well, no PlayStation 4, I'll just go get something else that I never really...
Some people will, but I mean, a lot of parents want to just actually give their kids gifts, and a lot of kids aren't patient. They want immediate gratification and stuff. So businesses typically look, you know, it's like, you know, that's why you don't see a ton of stuff released around that time of year. I mean, heck, when both the Wii and the PS3 came out, they were both holiday launches and, you know, sold pretty successful.
I would think that it would have to launch somewhere in October or November to allow people enough time to, one, go out and get the system, depending on the demand of it. But the thing that I see with that is if you release it before Thanksgiving, maybe they're a little scared of the Black Friday sales and not being able to keep up with the demand at that time.
Yeah, that's because that's even worse. If you've got, you know, release it and you don't have enough supply.
Right.
Then and also releasing it before you have enough good games available. Like they showed us like Infamous and the new game, Drive Club from Motorstorm, the Motorstorm guys, which, Evolution.
I got to tell you, when I saw that, I thought that was Gran Turismo. Initially, yeah, when they first started showing it.
Evolution, I tell you, the MotorStorm games were fun. They're taking much more of a simulation route this time as far as, you know, away from the arcade of MotorStorm. But they made some good games, and that'll be definitely one to watch because they're just putting a whole – as most driving game developers do, they're putting a shit ton of effort into it. Shit, I completely lost my track.
See, I'm going to say, though, I don't think the game lineup is going to have any bearing on it because name the last system that came out with a really good lineup of games.
But see, that's the point. Everyone bitches about the game lineup, you know, right out of the gate.
Yeah, and, because, you know, I mean, the game companies or developers are more prone to delaying games due to production time and wanting to make them the best of the best, especially with a new system where they're, you know, figuring out coding for it and all that kind of stuff. They're much more prone to delays, but when Sony has all those systems ready and people are eager to buy them, they're not going to go, nah, we don't have a super lineup of games. Let's sit on this money for a while and just see what happens. They want to get rid of the product.
Well, I mean, look at the Wii U. I mean, there's no, like, Zelda game for it. There's not really a huge game in my eyes, and that, like, that just right there kills it for me. I don't want anything to do with that. And, well, you know, exactly. With the PlayStation 3, I mean, yeah, it was really expensive. It was stupid expensive. But at the same time, I said, I'll wait and buy it until a good game comes out that I want. And it wasn't until it got closer to Warhawk and Lair, which I did not buy Lair, thank God, and Heavenly Sword, until those hype games were coming out, that I went out and bought it and bought Resistance. So, I mean, the games lineup does matter. A lot of people aren't going to be willing to spend that much money unless they can't. You know, no one's going to sit there and pay for a $400 paperweight. They're just going to sit there and collect dust.
You say it matters, but I don't think they're going to look at it that way. I mean, we can say game companies should learn from the past, but I really don't think they will. I think they're just going to keep repeating that mistake.
I guess we'll know if they learn from their mistakes if, you know, Sony comes out with a $700 system.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, and if Sony, if, like, the games that they showed, like the Infamous 2 and Killzone and stuff like that, like, if they can get all of those to be launch titles, then, yeah, they're choosing to lead with their best foot forward, and more power to them for actually seeing that. But I'm always skeptical of the intelligence of executives for game companies because I don't think they actually know anything.
All right. Last question, just yes or no, and then I have a prediction to lead us into the second half of the show. Yes or no, with what you saw so far, day one purchase of PlayStation 4, Klaus?
Absolutely.
Alex?
Yes.
I have to say yes. And now my prediction, I'm putting it on record right now, Grand Theft Auto 5 is a launch title for the PlayStation 4. It was announced for September release. It's going to get delayed until October, and it's going to be a launch title with the PlayStation 4.
Hmm. So, that would be awesome for Sony, definitely, because especially since they announced that The Witness, Jonathan Blow's new game, is going to be exclusive, a timed exclusive on the PlayStation 4. So that's a pretty big prediction there. I thought I saw that it was coming out in spring 2013. I thought it was in like Best Buy the other day, and I thought I saw a poster that said that. So I guess they moved it back.
Well, yeah, they came out a couple weeks ago, and they said it was supposed to come out in this spring, but they delayed it until September. I think it said September 16th, I believe, was the actual date.
Which is not surprising. Especially, is not surprising because Take-Two will only put out games when they're ready. They're one of those companies that is with like Max Payne 3. They're like notorious for in BioShock Infinite 2. They're notorious for delays. So nothing, you know, unexpected there. But, you know, as a fan of quality, I say, you know, more power to them. But you know, your prediction is very plausible, Tricky. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to end this first segment. The next segment is going to have Alex hosting it with hopefully Donnie and Candace. If I'm wrong, Donnie, just cut this out of the show. Klaus, you might be joining us also.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Stay tuned for part two of this. Like I said, I won't be there, but I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. So until next week, guys, I'll see you later. You too. Have fun.
Well, it's the end of the show. Let the credits roll. Y'all gotta go. And I'm about to pull a puppy. Shut down the studio. But how was it, though?
It was dope. Had me rolling on the floor, yo.
Oh,
squaw. Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna download Simone. I'm gonna let people know. Y'all the real trophy hoe.
Thanks, bro. Tune into the iTunes radio. And just like before, thanks for listening to the show. Oh.